All right. Well, I just wanted to start by saying thanks for taking the time to talk with me, and congratulations for making what I thought was a really great documentary.
Thank you. Thank you, and thanks for your time.
Yeah. So my first question was for you, AV. You seem to have a leadership role in the group, at least that was my thought. So how did you first get connected with SEMA and the workshop where it all started?
Oh, well, so I had been connected with SEMA for a while during this whole, before this whole thing. And I met with her at when I was inside an inpatient program, trying to getting therapy. And it was her who noticed that whenever the topic of speaking about, you know, issues or speaking about what was going on with me, that I would kind of turn off and wouldn't let anybody in, but I would open up my notebook that was given to me, and I would just sit there and write or doodle, but I wouldn't answer any questions. And she noticed that, hey, you know, let's see if we can get something else. So, you know, she kind of helped, that's where I met her, and she kind of helped guide me as far as, like, you know, throughout my healing process, you know, through the arts. And it's been a great road with her, because I can't tell you how thankful I am of her and everything she's done for me. And, you know, and the thousands upon thousands of other vets that she's come in contact with over the years. But as far as her and me, you know, I was hearing, I had this idea about this play, because you know I was that guy who was like, I don't want to be, you know, like, I don't want to be rude or anything, but why do you have PTSD, or why did this? And then, you know, it got to this point where it's like, you know, I didn't realize how much of a jerk I was being when I was telling everybody, well, that doesn't constitute as PTSD. Well, that's not combat. That's not whatever. But it was much more throughout all of, through a lot of therapy and maturing in life that I was, and maturing throughout my healing was, throughout this process, that I came to think, like, wow, man, the learning that the different, you know, that PTSD isn't limited to combat. It's for those, you know, sexual assault victims, those that are, you know, like the no-no word, rape. You don't ever talk about rape. Knowing, and it's not just into the military. It's for those, you know, for that common man or woman that walks across the street and gets hit by a vehicle, you know, something happened to them that was traumatic. And I didn't understand that until I was, you know, maturing and growing through the arts and through my therapy at Walter Reed. And you know, and I was tired of having to, you know, like, whenever somebody would say something, and I'll turn around and say, hey, look, that's not right, man, you know. And then I was like, you know what, maybe there's another way to tell the story so that others could understand. And so I had the idea, and I just shot it to SEMA, and she was just like, yeah, man, we can definitely do this. We can definitely give this a try. And to be honest, I didn't think that it was going to be so big. I just thought it was going to be done right there in the hospital theater that they have there. I think holds like 50 people. And I was like, even if only a quarter of that was picking up, I'm good with it, you know. I never thought that it would be held at the Shakespeare Theater.
Yeah.
And for that, I was, you know, that wouldn't have been possible without the help of you know, of course, SEMA and her group, Community Building Artworks. And then, of course, the USO was involved. And then Jeffrey Wright. Then nothing, you couldn't do a lot. lot of this without all of these things coming into play. Yeah, so I hope that makes sense.
No, it did. Great. Thank you very much for your answer. So what about you, Jeffrey? It's mentioned briefly in the film that you kind of got connected through somebody in the Pentagon, but got you first interested in joining the project.
You're breaking up, but I think I got the gist of it.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. So, you know, I guess, you know, like AV, you know, I matured in my own ways, you know, and over the last maybe, 18 years or so, as our country as well has become more entrenched in war, I've become more aware of and sensitive to the consequences of war, and the consequences of war on veterans. Had the opportunity over those years to make some deep relationships with a number of people who served in the U.S. military and elsewhere. And they taught me a lot. Taught me a lot about things that I had taken for granted. One of those being the people who serve. And then I, you know, I started doing a group of readings called Theater of War with a guy named Brian Dorries, who uses the Greek tragedies as a means of triggering or starting conversations around PTSD. He invites actors to come and read scenes from, you know, Sophocles, Euripides, and as an examination of the consequences on the human psyche of combat. And, you know, like the story of Ajax, you know, who goes on, you know, what, you know, seems to be a kind of psychotic rampage. And Brian's argument is that this is an examination that the Greeks undertook on that, a warrior society of PTSD specifically. His argument further is that, you know, while the Greeks celebrated war as a collective, they also examined these consequences as a collective in a way that we in America do not. And, you know, we're not a warrior society per se, but we're a society at war for many years now. And I don't think most of us take it seriously. So at one point we did a reading down in D.C. and I met these, you know, these reps from the Pentagon, and I asked what more I could do. And that was also kind of inspired by a meeting I had with a gentleman at a small airport out in the middle of, you know, rural Colorado. There was a guy there, African American, triple amputee, who described having been in the Navy in Afghanistan, served in Afghanistan, and when he got out, he went to work for one of the aviation companies, and he went back to Afghanistan, and his words, to support the troops, and he was hit by a mortar shell. And, you know, we're, as I said, we're out in the middle of Colorado, and, you know, it was me, my kids, and him, you know, the only, you know, ground folks in the place. I don't say that as a judgment, but I, you know, at all. But he was sitting there by himself, you know, waiting for his plane. And I walked over, spoke to him, and he recognized me, and he started talking about his experiences. He talked talked about, you know, people in my line of work who had come to visit him down at Walter Reed, and they were all, like, you know, white, conservative men, and I thought to myself, good for them, but I also thought, you know, what am I doing with my time that, you know, I couldn't come down and try to, you know, show some support in some way. And so when we did that reading in D.C. with these, you know, in front of these, you know, these folks from the Pentagon, I asked them afterwards what, you know, if there was anything that I might be able to do. And, I guess a couple months later, they reached out to me and put me in touch with FEMA. And she and I had a good conversation, and she asked me if I would come down on the condition that I could come down, you know, and not just come down and, you know, kind of glad hand and then bounce, but come down and commit, you know, over the course of several weeks. And I said, yeah, I'll do that, and so we began to work, and the documentary was born out of that, like, the process of working on the poems and getting them up on their feet on stage.
Is the poem, was it a big one-time performance, or is it something that is continuing, that people are still performing and altering to fit their own stories and own experiences in, or is it this one-time event?
I'll let AB speak to that in terms of the work that's continuing, but I'll say that we did one performance of that piece, and the thinking, or at least in my head, and I can't speak for the others, but I was, you know, thinking that night after we'd done it that perhaps we could do this again. We could tour with this and use this, you know, that experience to inspire conversations, you know, in military communities and civilian communities, or a mix thereof, or college campuses. And I think there were, you know, others who were thinking this, and we talked about it a bit, and I think AV will confess to this, that wasn't the easiest, night to pull off. And it asked a lot of them, emotionally, physically. I think they learned a little bit about how the theater's not all fun and games. So then the next day I asked Serene Haribedian, who is our director, who had been filming this process very quietly, very unassuming, in very unobtrusive way, on FEMA's invitation. She filmed the process, and I asked her afterwards if she would show me what she had been filming, because we had been so focused on putting on the theatrical piece that we really weren't, you know, paying that much attention to, you know, a couple cameras that were in the room, which was good, because I think there's an openness and an intimacy to it as a result. And when she showed me the footage, I was really blown away. I was mesmerized by her frame, by her sense of composition, and by the, you know, the lyrical quality of her the way she captured what was happening in the room. And I said to her that I think there's something here that we could build on if we get portraits of the people in the room, so we understand them, you know, more closely, and we weave that together with what she filmed. I thought that we could potentially have something very powerful, and so HBO agreed when I, you know, showed Sheila Nevins and Nancy Abraham that initial footage, and they gave us a little bit of a development budget, and we went off and filmed a bit more, and then came back to them, and they loved what they saw, and they said, let's do this. And so the it was a really kind of gradual, organic process of, you know, making this film. And it was born out, at least for me, a desire to take a little bit of the burden off of the vets in if they wanted to tell that specific story again, because they now, if they like, have this film that they can put in their backpacks and travel with, and you know, and to audiences, you know, wherever they may be, and have these conversations in a way that I think is they can have more control over. But AV can talk to you about, you know, the work that's continuing that's similar to this.
I just wanted to let everyone know we have about 2 minutes left.
All right, great. Thank you.
Cool thing. Thanks. AV?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, good. Yeah, as far as the work is concerned, like, yes, there was a one-time production, and, you know, it was in the thoughts about maybe the possibility of going out and doing this more often, but at the time that everything was going on, you know, some of us were still active duty, and it just wasn't in the cards, like logistics-wise, and planning so that everyone could take leave or how it would work. It was pretty tough, because, and then, you know, a lot of us were still had a lot of appointments as far as, like, you know, the, you know, Wounded Warriors aspect of it. But, you know, but, like, yeah, the, would I do it again? Yeah. I hope that, you know, if you would ask, I hope if you would ask everyone else, would they would do it again? Yeah, I hope they would say yes. But as far as like now, we all are still going to like different platforms, and still, you know, still reading poetry about, you know, about our experiences and going out into the public, you know, because now it's a real thing. We know that it's okay to do so, and you know, there are people out there that do want to hear our story, and it's sometimes it's great just to hear their feedback, especially, you know, for those that have watched the film, and, you know, to hear them and want to say and give the, you know, them telling us that, that, you know, because they watched the film, that it gave them courage to want to tell their story. Tell their process of healing and move power to them, because like that's exactly what in my mind the vision was, you know, there's so many more people that we could help throughout this process, you know, not just a group, you know, and yes, this was a healing a way for us to heal, so hopefully everyone else, you know, everybody could take a little bit of something away from this, do this from this, and that, you know, we can all heal and grow together, you know, either as just a group or as a country, you know. I hope that makes sense. Thank you.
Yeah, it does. Thank you very much, and that's probably about all of our time, so I just wanted to say thanks again for joining us, and I hope everyone watches the documentary when it premieres on the 8th. Because it was really well done and is a real testament to AV and the rest of the veterans that put it on and what you've been through and the courage it took just to get up on stage. And I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you, man.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good day.